Welcome back to the Bruce Allen Show, A Dad's Point of View. It is time for spiritual rap or spiritual talk with Pastor Drew Sams. Pastor Drew Sams is a teaching pastor at Calvary Community Church in Westlake Village. Pastor Drew and his wife live in Westlake Village, California, and are the proud parents of their first son, Judah Andrew Sams. And he is currently on vacation on their first big trip with Judah and his wife, Erica, in Texas, and is calling us from Texas. Welcome back to the show, Pastor Drew.
Hey, thanks for having me on. Howdy, as they say out here in Texas.
Hi, y'all. So first I want the health and welfare update, and then I want the the travel update.
Wonderful. He's doing great. Coming up on 14 months, he is eating up a storm, walking up a storm. So much fun. Took him on his first carousel today.
Wonderful. Wow. You got pictures, I hope. Please send me some.
I will. But boy, you know, traveling for the first time with a toddler, it's quite a challenge. we took him, I think it was at 3 months, and then at 7 months, and, you know, we could hold him the whole time. He was content. I could walk him up and down the aisle in my arms. But this time, he just wanted to let loose.
Did he have any ear?
Man on a mission.
Did he have any ear problems? Sometimes kids have the problems with the ear.
No, he did great. We were able to time the bottle on the takeoff and the landing, and he did great.
Oh, cool. Very cool. So listen, you're obviously in the throes of dealing with additional work-life balance issues in your own life. First, you had the marriage and job issues, which you have a very demanding job that is literally can be 24/7. And now you have the additional job of co-parenting. So what thoughts do you have on this topic? What, if anything, does the Bible say? And was anything of my column of distress or particular agreement to you?
Boy, a lot to cover there. You know, we're right in the mix of it right now. My wife worked full-time. I work full-time. And so she had to transition from going 40 hours a week down to 3 days a week. And she's been able to keep that balance really well.
Is that intended to be permanently or just during the first year or two? What's the plan?
Oh, probably during the first year or two. You know, she does love to work, and you know, she finds a lot of satisfaction in it.
I know she doesn't have to work because the job of pastor is so lucrative. So that's obviously just a choice, right?
Oh yeah, of course. You know, and our beachfront home, and you know, all the trips we take. Yeah, but so really out of a necessity, that is, you know, at the bare minimum, she's got to work right now those 20 hours a week. But she's really enjoyed it. It's been interesting kind of watching her as a mom and as a working mom be mm-hmm. able to step out and step away for a little bit and to come back. And she's got a really clear schedule. She knows when she's going to be home. And so my mom watches him one day of the week. We have somebody else help out 2 days of the weekend. So, you know, it's a few hours in the daytime. I help out one day out of the week, and the other days that we're together, you know, on the weekend. But you're right. For me, it's really interesting. We talk so much about this in our staff on ministry because it is in many ways a 24/7 job. We have, in some ways, we're on call. I'll get calls, you know, middle of the night, 3 a.m.
Of course you are. My family was very close with the cantor of our temple, and he was always on call with, God forbid, somebody in the hospital, God forbid, a death, or for that matter, God willing, a beautiful birth, a wedding, whatever.
And the interesting thing is there's always need. And one of the hardest things for me, especially as a people pleaser, as somebody who wants to help, trying to draw healthy boundaries and to say, okay, I'm going to choose my wife's and my anniversary dinner over that phone call, you know, that can wait. And it's really hard, you know, trying to make those decisions. It's really quite a challenge.
And it must be even more so for the mindset of people that go into your line of work, because you obviously have a natural desire to give and to support and to help people. So I would imagine the conflict in some ways has to be even harder.
It is. And it's really interesting when you look at the statistics. You know, there's so many different organizations that do the statistics, but pastor burnout rates are so high, I think, because a lot of people can't draw those healthy boundaries. They take too much responsibility on themselves without inviting other people whether part of the team or therapists or other people in the community to come alongside a family as well. You know, just one part of an organization. It's like trying to run a marathon with just your pinky finger. It wouldn't work. Your pinky finger would break. But sometimes when a pastor thinks that he's going to carry the load of the whole congregation on his shoulders, it's too much for one man.
So those statistics, I imagine, also highlight other professions. We've often heard about doctor burnout and lawyer burnout. Do you know if pastor burnout or clergy burnout is higher or lower than the other two main professions I mentioned?
It is one of the highest. I remember I had to research this for my doctoral work. There's something like 70% of people who go through seminary and start in ministry are not in ministry 10 years later. That was just one, you know, there's a lot of different organizations that take statistics, but 70%.
That's a gigantic percentage for only 10 years. I would understand if you had said 20 or 25, but 10 years, especially, I mean, that's, how long have you been doing it? It's almost 10 years, isn't it?
Yeah, last week was 8 years at Calvary.
Okay.
And it's very interesting. 18 months is the average span of a youth pastor position right now in the U.S. 18 months.
All right. So what tips, advice would you offer based on observing not only other pastors, but more importantly, your congregants and all the people you see that struggle with this issue? What have you observed and what would you offer and what did you learn?
Yeah, well, you know, I've got so many friends who are investment banking, lawyers, doctors, firefighters, policemen. So I think across, no matter what career that you're in, I think it's so important to recognize that at the end of the day, you're coming home to your family. And your family, if you have one, or let's say it's your parents, if you're single, you know, everybody's got some form of family. But when you think about that, they're going to be the ones who are going to be with you if you're still around 10, 20, 30, 40 years from now at the end of your life. The people you work with, the responsibilities that you have, those come and go.
Well, may I interrupt for a moment? You have obviously in your job had to be there when people are dying. And I imagine you've heard very often people dying saying things like, "I really wish I'd worked harder."
True.
Yeah, I'm joking, of course.
Not one person met said that.
Right. Obviously, the common thing people say is, "I wish I'd spent more time with my family." I believe. Is that correct?
Yes. And a great example of this, Billy Graham. A lot of people know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, phenomenal work he's done. He wrote in his latest autobiography, one of his biggest regrets, he says, was he didn't spend enough time with his family and caring for them and pouring into them.
Wow. I mean, and this is a man that's given so much to the world, and he even feels that, because in the end, what you take with you are those relationships. Wow, that's very, very heavy duty. So we've got 2 minutes left. Any other final thoughts, summaries, et cetera, because I did interrupt you.
You know, I have a very close friend who actually has gone through this recently. He was an investment banker, did it for 7 years. We graduated together out of USC and was, you know, really on the A-track with investment banking. He was headed on this path to one day make partner, but he was working 80, 90, 100-hour weeks. He went through months at one point a couple of years ago where he didn't have one dinner with his wife at home. For a few months, she had to come near the office, have dinner with him. And so recently, his branch closed down, and so he had a choice. Do I take this as an opportunity to go have a healthier work-life balance, or do I just jump back into another investment banking job? He said to me on the phone, this is pretty intense. He says, "Drew, I feel like I either need to commit career suicide in terms of investment banking, or it's actual suicide." I mean, that's strong language, but the fact that he was able to articulate that and to recognize that, I think, was so wonderful. He ended up choosing the job now, 40 hours a week. He gets every other Friday off. He's able to be home with his wife and his young daughter. Mm. And he just seems like a completely different person. So my advice would be, really consider, take a look at work-life balance, and you don't have to stay stuck in it forever.
Good advice. Thank you, Pastor Drew. Enjoy your trip in Texas. Got to go because we're out of time. So you'll tell us where you're not blogging next week.
Wonderful.
And everyone else, please stay tuned for Therapy Wrap after these messages.